Welcome to the Rule of Three. I'm Brian Miller, and over here I've got Tim Slagle.
Hey, how you doing?
And we're here for a Halloween episode of the podcast. We're creeping up on my personal favorite holiday. And,
is it?
Absolutely. Far and away, without question.
Nah, I'm still a Christmas guy.
Christmas is number two. I'm a big Christmas guy. I got a lot of Christmas traditions and rituals, but I was always a huge fan of monster movies as a kid and haunted houses and all of that stuff. I always just thought that stuff was great. And so I loved that all the horror movies would be on TV and the costumes. It wasn't even the candy. I like scary stuff.
Huh. Here's the interesting thing that to me, it's always what has fascinated me the most is we both know that Halloween and Christmas used to be pagan holidays before they were co-opted by the Catholic Church.
And Easter was the, you know, spring fest basically as well.
Yeah, which is always weird too because Easter isn't on the calendar.
Right, it's a floater.
Yeah, so I don't know why Jesus waits for the first Sunday after the first full moon after the solstice to rise from the dead.
Well, football's over. There's no reason to stay in anymore, for one.
But I don't know why that should be a floater. I mean, that should be evidence right there that they are actually pagan holidays that have traditions long before the church tried to convert the pagans.
Yes.
But the interesting thing about Christmas and Halloween is that the Halloween is they turned Christmas into the birth of Jesus, and then Easter is the resurrection of Jesus. Halloween was supposed to be the day that we celebrate all the saints.
Right, All Saints Day, which is the day after Halloween. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. No one celebrates the day of All Saints.
No. I couldn't even name a saint. I'm not Catholic, so I don't have to. It wasn't on the questionnaire in Methodist confirmation school.
Yeah,
ooh, St. Patrick, I got one.
I figured that one.
Yeah. I'm sure I could just start saying certain. I'm sure there's a St. Anthony or a St. Michael. I mean, just, you know.
Sure.
But that's easy pickings.
St. Michael is the one who stands on the snake.
Who's the dashboard guy?
That's St. Christopher.
Right. He's popular. He was like the original bobblehead.
Which they actually, there was a revision a few years back. They actually went through the saints and they removed a bunch.
Really?
Yeah,
booted?
Because some of them didn't even exist.
I thought maybe it was for underage drinking violations or they signed memorabilia before they went pro or something like that.
So, St. Christopher was removed.
Ouch!
Yeah,
off the dashboard. That hurts.
Yeah, and you know, how does Mr. Columbus feel about that?
Oh, absolutely. Speaking of holiday, that's kind of a pagan holiday in America now, right? People are pretty mad about that one.
Yeah. Oh, you know, of course, if he was named after St. Christopher, didn't do much good because he got lost.
Yeah, that's true. You maybe forgot this thing on his do they have dashboards on the Nina?
On the tiller.
Yeah.
The little had the little carving of St. Christopher on the tiller.
But no, Halloween always my favorite holiday, by a landslide. I've always been, and I liked the dressing up part. I liked the scary part of the dress up. That was the part that appealed to me. Like, I don't think I ever went as a single Halloween costume that wasn't scary. Or, you know, attempting to be in my little childhood way. I never went as like a Batman, I don't think. I think I might have gone as a ninja one year, but I think that was one of those, I think that one would be my lamer costume because that was basically my mother going like, well, we paid to put you in karate classes for 6 months, and that didn't take, but we have this outfit. You know, I think that was like pure.
We're going to get every dime of value out of this purchase.
And I can't say as I blame her, by the way. That's no fault to her. I think that was probably a pretty swift move. Yeah.
Batman, other than that. New Batman is kind of a scary character, though.
That's true. Very dark. You know, it's all kind of all black.
Yeah, there wasn't anything scary about old Batman.
I had a Batman costume as a child, but I just for around the house purposes. It wasn't for going out.
just for saving crime, just for keeping the thugs out of the lemonade stands.
Absolutely. You know, it was kind of like Hugh Hefner's smoking jacket, you know. It was just what I sort of wore around the house, but Halloween time was time to get garbed up. Did you have a personal favorite or least favorite Halloween costume from your youth? Or adulthood, I guess, come to think of it.
You what?
Or adulthood, I guess, if you had a good one, you know. Good costume's a good
You know,
costume.
I never really liked dressing up as an adult. I might have done it a couple times in college, but once I you know once I was out of college, it's you know it's I realized it's not really, you know, and it wasn't as big of a thing back then, you know, back in the 80s, in the early 80s, getting dressed up. You know, what are you going to be this year? You know, nowadays it's it's standard. Is adults still do it?
It's like the cell phone. Halloween became big. It's easy to forget that it became big, like really big, as an adult thing. I think what, early 90s maybe?
Yeah. The you know the displays, the yard displays are relatively new as well.
Oh, absolutely. Christmas, you would see the yard displays, but never Halloween, really.
You know, when I was trick-or-treating, maybe there'd be one or two houses that had that had speakers on the porch playing the creepy music.
Or the scarecrow sometimes, kind of a fall-ish
Yeah,
Halloween display.
maybe a scarecrow. Yeah, but nothing elaborate. We've got a guy down the street that actually has all the presidential candidates with their heads cut off.
That's kind of funny.
And except for Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a bloody sword.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah, that's less funny now. I liked it when it was bipartisan. I liked it when it was like all of them. If you pick one, it's not as funny to me. I like if you make the blanket statement.
And he's actually got Hillary's head in his hand.
Oh
He
my
actually
God.
by the hair.
That's ridiculous. And That would be my egg target of choice.
if you actually walk to the corner of his yard, there's an Obama head hanging from the tree.
All right. That seems like that guy didn't even need the Halloween for that. I think he had that all made up, and he just it was at a convenient holiday.
Well, you see how that changes? It's from all the candidates with their heads cut off. Oh, good for him. Except for
I would, if he would have picked anyone.
Trump, it's like, oh. And then Obama, hey, wait, oh,
Well,
too
that's not even
far.
part of the gag. That's just a separate thing. Like, you want to see this guy killed. But also, because I was, as I've said many times, I'm not political at all. I don't like politics, and I don't follow them, and I don't vote. But despite all that, I would have been fine if it would have been all the candidates. But again, you pick one, and now it's a statement. I like it better when it's the I like it better when it's the bipartisan kind of ugh, I'm fed up with it, because that's my party. So real quick before the segment ends here, what was your best Halloween costume as a kid? Your favorite?
I can't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know mine. I know definitely know mine. No question. I was excited. I loved horror movies as a kid, and I wasn't allowed to see Silence of the Lambs when it came out when I was in fourth grade. But for whatever reason, so many people were into it that I was able to like glean most of the movie by just sort of asking people about plot points, be they adults or kids who were allowed to see stuff they shouldn't. And
Newspaper
so,
pictures? Newspaper pictures? Magazine pictures?
yeah, you know, you see little promotional stuff, and you know, I don't know, I sort of figured out what it was about, and I thought it sounded really scary. So in fourth grade, to the fourth grade in the school thing where we would do march around the block, and all the adults would come out, and oh, the kids are so cute. I went as Hannibal Lecter. I got the mask with the slots in it, you know, and I made up a fake straitjacket and wrote all the numbers or whatever. And then my mom would not go quite so far as to agree to push me in the hand truck. I was kind of mad. I was like, just for a little bit, I wanted her to wheel me around.
Wanted you to wheel you up onto the stairs
Yeah,
in your
because I
bag.
with the hands bound and the candy bag just dangling off the side. But I was doing some of the lines, so some adults were really freaked out when they would open their doors on Halloween, and there would just be this like tiny little Hannibal Lecter, and I would say like, "Clever, clever Clarice, can I have some candy?" I was doing the voice and stuff, or I would do the fava bean sucking noise or whatever, and Tootsie Rolls or whatever, you know. And I'm still proud of myself for that one. I feel like that was a budding comedian's costume, if ever there was one.
That's
And that'll about do it for the first segment of Rule of Three. You want to do a quick Twitter promo, a little online promo? Anything?
Just timcycle.com. Oh, and by the way, the next segment will be Walking Dead. So if you're haven't been following this season, you might want to skip forward to segment 3.
Indeed. All right, we'll see you next time.
Ellen Bruce is dead. The bats have left the bell tower. The victims have been bled. Red velvet lines. The black box.
And we're back. It's the Rule of Three, second segment of this week. And today we're going to be talking about The Walking Dead.
Yes, the Halloween theme continues. And I'm Brian Miller, by the way.
Oh, Tim Slagle over here.
Yes, absolutely. And so we're all caught up on Walking Dead. So if you're not current on The Walking Dead, you might want to get current real fast before you listen to this. That's what you should do. Run immediately to your computer. The episode that just happened was the second episode of season whatever we're on. What is it? Was it six?
Yeah, that's all the more current we are. We've been watching it up until you listen to this podcast, but.
I thought this was one of the best episodes the show's ever done.
Do you really think so?
Absolutely. I thought that episode, the cold open, was fantastic. I loved the way that whole cold open was put together with the jumps where they kind of like fill you in on that girl's story very quickly, very efficiently, which is mostly just visual storytelling. I loved that. And then we go down into
that was kind of interesting because I didn't really recognize her as that it was a flashback.
Oh, sure, you didn't recognize that it was Carl's kind of pseudo girlfriend girl, or the girl's been leaving the walls.
No, I didn't. I don't know why I didn't.
It's because there's a million characters.
yeah, I know. I don't know why I didn't. You know, it's because it's where the first episode left us off was what the heck is that horn?
Which I will say, me and my buddy Chris, who we talk Walking Dead after we always call him and we chatted up, and we both said, you know, what if somebody just had an accident and they're leaning on a horn, and it was, we thought maybe it was a total accident. We didn't think the wolves were going to show up quite yet necessarily, but we thought, what if it's not someone trying to do the horn necessarily, but it's an unfortunate timing.
Yeah, I thought at first when I heard it, it's like, oh my gosh, a tornado siren.
Yeah, it sounded almost like a foghorn, which it makes sense now in retrospect that it was a semi truck.
Yeah,
that it's a different, very different than the car horn that would have been more identifiable.
Yeah, but, no, I thought it was a tornado siren, and I thought they all started looking up all of a sudden and panicking. It's like, oh crap! Do you know how much it cost us to put all these extras in makeup, and we didn't like time the filming to know that they were going to test the tornado sirens? It's like, oh man, we just blew how many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and didn't bother to see that today was the day they checked the tornado sirens. That was my first impression when I saw it.
You also just inadvertently wrote a great climax to the season. They should be in a tornado of zombies. You could, like, Sharknado is ridiculous, but a tornado with zombies actually makes a little bit of sense and would be really terrifying.
That's true. So, yeah. So I was wondering, okay, what's the horn? And then it's like, oh, okay, there's a girl in a car, and then her parents are stupid. They did, it's didn't even feel bad to watch them die. Did that?
I feel bad for her, but I mean, that's, again, I love that, that would have been really annoying to spend too much time on, but you would have spent maybe 7 seconds with her stupid parents and then they're just gone. It was like, great. I mean, it was such effective storytelling. It was really like elegant, and they actually were able to, like, I love when they do the gore, but I think in some way they were able to maximize some of the horror by not showing some of the sort of obvious big moments, her dad getting pulled through the window or whatever. And it really kind of enhanced the starkness. And then you go to, we get the title sequence, and then it comes to everybody just hanging out in Alexandria. And it's like a slow episode, kind of. I'm thinking, all right, we're going to do a lot of character stuff, and we're going to get to this horn, in minute 35 or something. And that scene where Carol is looking out the window and the first wolf just broad daylight runs out of nowhere and hits her with that machete was such a great startle scene with, I love, no sound cue on it. rather than the usual horror movie thing of jolting you with a sound cue because it was through a window, they give you Carol's perspective, and it's just totally mute. And so it almost takes you a second, like her, to be like, wait, what? What? What's going on?
I wonder, you know, I wonder myself if that, because I've been seeing that a lot lately, where it's just the silent startle scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I think I saw it was in Gravity.
Oh, because of all the...
Because, they had silent explosions. Because, of course, the explosions are silent.
Right, that's interesting. You know,
And, of course, because I'm a boy, silent but deadly comes.
There's a really great scare in Signs, the Shyamalan movie, which is uneven, but I think really good in some capacity. The scariest moment of that is this sort of... hidden handheld camera footage from like this birthday party where the alien walks between the two hedges, and it's a really great, but it's totally silent because you're watching them watch it on a handheld video with no sound. But I think that's a nice contrast. And then I just, you know, the other reason I like this episode so much is you know, showcase for Carol, who I think is far and away the most interesting character on the show.
Yeah,
and has been for a long time. I thought it was a great, you know, we haven't gotten to see her kind of flip over from being pretending to be nice to like reminding us what she's capable of. And she's so, I love her. She reminds me of Jason Bourne. Like, her great asset is her like complete ruthless pragmatism. You know, right. She's able to just completely, she's not a bad person, but she can completely shift all emotion away from something and just be like, what's the most effective thing to do right now? And it's, oh, paint a W on your head, put a dirty shirt on, drag Morgan around in a chain, which was a bit awkward. And then just start, capping mofos with your pistol as soon as you're in range. I was loving it. I mean, I was like, that was more exciting to me than any action movie I've seen in a while. Cause I was like, go Carol, get him. I loved it.
Okay. I guess I'll give you that.
And I thought it was also really well done that they teased those wolf guys all last season. And so you knew they had to be showing up. I mean, so much foreshadowing, but then they didn't tease it too much right beforehand, so they kind of let them, you know, I thought they would show up a little later.
I had totally forgotten about the W people.
Yeah, I was thinking those guys were going to show back up, you know, mid-season. Or I thought they'd, you know, tease it a little more. So then just to have them burst onto the scene was really effectively startling.
Well, they let four get away. So.
Oh, of course. I think there's more of them anyway.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's all it takes.
Right.
You know, it's all it took was one governor released.
Mm. I am a little tired of The Walking Dead. I think it's a great show, but they've hit this one theme a few too many times, which is the guy or the lady who goes, I won't kill people. I just won't do it. And then it takes them a half a season and getting 9 other people killed, and then they start killing people. And then we just repeat that same moral plot line over and over again. It's like Morgan is just the replacement for the priest, who's just the replacement for Tyrese, who's just a replacement. You know, you can just work back through that character, which is, I won't do it.
Well, for a while in the early seasons of The Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
it was almost they had to they had to keep the same quota of racial identities within the group.
And character numbers, I think, just for budgetary reason too. You know, it's like, look, we'd love to add 2 more black guys, but we've only got one space. We can have 9 people at any point in time.
But I mean, in the first couple seasons, if a black person showed up, you know that the black person they had wasn't going to make it to the end. Only had like an episode or two left
at most. Oh no, that was a thing. Whereas now the cast is so much bigger and more sort of broadly diverse that it's, you know, it's harder to pick. But no, you're absolutely right. You know, when the kid from Everybody Loves Chris shows up and you're like, ooh, him and Tyrese, yeesh. One of you guys better be careful. But I think that show has evolved nicely. I think it was kind of repetitive for like 2.5 seasons, and now it's pushing into interesting new territory. I think it's going to be better. I'm more interested in them redeveloping society. You know, I'm enough with the running. We kind of maxed that out, I think.
Well, I think they're going to have to run again.
I don't know. I don't think they are. I think they're sticking in this place one way or the other. Is my prediction. And I don't know. You know, it's obviously just. I don't keep up with the books or anything.
I thought you read the. Oh, you stopped reading the books.
Yeah, I read the first few, and then I thought I liked the show, so I thought, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the show. I like watching it better than reading it anyway, so I'll just, you know, no spoilers, as it were. But that's my prediction. Carol keeps being awesome. They stick around. And I think it's no big prediction to say those W fellows, the Wolves, are coming back.
No. When Rick comes back and sees the carnage, he's going to go, "We can't stay here."
Oh, I think he's going to go full Rick and go full vengeance.
Go after the Wolves?
Yeah, I think he's going to go. Yeah, because he's new and improved Rick now. He's unsentimental, chiseled to his flinty core Rick, which I like. He looks like he smells bad. That's my favorite thing about him. Like, he's a handsome guy, but you're like, man, he smells bad and he's intense.
He does not smell as bad as Daryl.
No, nobody smells as bad as Daryl.
It's something about... Yeah, unwashed hair and a diet of earthworms. You know,
yeah, the earthworm diet. That's the narrow. Comes out of your pores like gin, you know?
And we're coming out of the second segment. I'm Jim Slagle.
I'm Brian Miller.
To get a joke from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
The monster man. The zombies were having fun.
Welcome back to the Rule of Three. We're here with segment three of the Halloween themed show. I'm Tim Slagle. I'm Brian Miller. You're Tim Slagle. I'm Brian Miller. That's the one thing I should be able to get right.
You goof it up too many times as a joke, and then you can't do it anymore.
I know.
Tim Slagle, Brian Miller. We're on the Rule of Three.
Yes, and we're talking scary stories here. I was thinking of my scariest story, and it's not like I don't have a supernatural story. I don't believe in ghosts. And I think it's because my family owns a couple of funeral homes, and I spend a lot of time around dead bodies and at both family businesses. And I would go over there at night to get some typing paper to draw on, or my grandpa'd forget something, and I'd run over there and in the dark by myself and run past the body or whatever. And I never saw nothing, never heard nothing. So I just thought, man, I feel like I had ample choice, ample opportunity. But I did have in the eras of pre-cell phones, when you used to have to meet people at predetermined places, me and my girlfriend were going to meet a buddy of mine at this park where we used to hang out, where we always used to go to grade school. It's kind of centrally located. We'd go there and hang out a little bit, you know, hit a flask or two. This was back when we were 18 or 17. And we go do whatever.
16, 15, 14.
Yeah, right. But, you know, we wouldn't do minor trouble. We'd go to the, you know, just go something, go goof around town. And so we said, well, we'll meet you at this park. And so we're sitting on this, swings or something. And we see my buddy in his brown jacket. He's a real goofball. And he's running all funny. And I don't know. He was just being goofy. And here he comes. And he's climbing over the fence. And it's dark. And we went to grade school here. So this doesn't seem like a scary place to us. And so me and my girlfriend get up and we start kind of trotting across the lawn toward my buddy, and he's moving all erratically and goofy and his hair sticking up funny. And we get pretty close to him and we realize it appears to be a completely insane person in this tattered brown jacket who's like making these horrible noises, and he's running towards us in the most bizarre, skittery fashion. We turned on our heels and split, and he chased us back to our car and was kind of pounding on the back of it as we drove away, frantically.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was scary, wow. But it wasn't supernatural.
Everything but a hockey mask.
Yeah, and it's like, I still think, like, well, was it just some guy who was like, I'm going to scare these kids? But, like, you know, I mean, I was 18. It's possible that I could have attacked him. It wasn't necessarily, if my girlfriend hadn't been there and my buddy would have been, we might have, you know, defended ourselves, but it was just me and this girl, and we ran. We ran very fast.
He could have just been someone who smelled the liquor.
That's true. Maybe he just wanted my flask.
it just could have been a wino, and you guys opened the flask, and he could smell it, and it's like, oh, something smells good over there.
Like a Jekyll and Hyde.
He pounded on the window. I'm sure it came out garbled. But probably what he was saying was, I just wanted a drink. What's wrong with you? You think I'm a murderer or something? I just wanted a drink.
With a hook hand, you know, he's clacking on the thing. But, yeah, that's probably my scariest story. But you said you got a good.
And that's it was a smaller town, right?
Yeah, a town of about 14,000 people.
You had no idea who this guy was?
No, and we kind of ceased hanging out there late at night. we kind of ticked that off as a spot. And we, you know, it was in a kind of a not great part of town, but It gave you.
It's kind of funny too, though, because I think I've spent some time on the swing set smoking cigarettes as a young adult is probably the wrong term, but it's kind of weird how that happens.
It sort of seems like a weird natural thing to do when you're that age.
But I think we all did. Is you go from being a little kid excited just playing on the playground equipment to a medium kid who's too cool and too old to play on the playground equipment, to a young adult who needs the playground equipment as a place to meet their friends to smoke cigarettes and drink.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it.
Is it at that point it's like, ha ha, I'm old enough, you know, I got cigarettes and booze, so now it's okay to play on the slide.
Plus, I think you hit that age, you know, where you kind of like miss you start getting a little nostalgic fondness for the non-boozy, smoky playground era, you know?
Huh.
You got a foot in both worlds and you're kind of like, oh, I kind of miss that one now.
Yeah. But it is interesting. It is interesting that it is universal. We had a giant metal spider that we used to smoke our Newports on. So it was like a jungle gym. But it was in the shape of a giant spider.
That's Halloween themed. I like that.
So yeah, that's where we would hang out. Until it got too cold to sit on that.
So what's your scary story?
Well,
I'm on pins and needles.
I was down in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and we a bunch of buddies and I would every year right around Halloween, right around the fall, we would all go down to this place, this dumpy old motel on Cocoa Beach, and it's right in between Cape Canaveral and Patrick Air Force Base. But it was really affordable, and the really nice beach,
mm-hmm.
Nice waves. I like the east side of Florida because of the waves. I don't like the west side of Florida just like Lake Michigan. It's occasionally there might be a wave or two.
It's like a big pond.
Yeah, big pond, big salty pond. So we. It occurred to us, our friend of ours, who I don't know how to say this appropriately, happens to be gay.
Sure.
Started complaining that we were going down on Halloween and we weren't doing a costume party.
Mm.
And I said, well, you know, I'm in my 30s. That's why we don't do it. And there's only about a dozen of us. A costume party would feel silly. Well, he went around and lobbied everyone else, and they decided, yeah, let's do a costume party. So basically, I had some board shorts that were red, white, and blue, and I put those on with an Uncle Sam hat, and that was the extent of my costume that year.
Sure, you're officially participating.
he went full out. He did the full cheerleader. With the long blonde pigtails and the little bear midriff and the little short skirt and the pom poms and the full cheerleader, and so we're hanging out at the hotel, and it's like, you know, see, this is stupid. This is, you know, how much of a costume party is this really?
Mm-hmm.
Just the 12 of us in a dumpy motel, and I said we should, you know, at least go to we walk up the beach to a bar. And there's probably like a costume party going on there, and it might feel more like Halloween if we were to do that. So we start walking up the beach, and it's now it's about midnight. We're walking along the beach, and we're inspired, to say the least. I don't know how else to put it. We were in quite a state of intoxication. I think we were the only two people that had not gone to bed already. So we're walking up the beach, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there appears these three or four colored lights.
Mm-hmm.
Completely silent. Just lights. Just down by, like, you know, not quite down by the horizon, but not overhead. And I And I go, oh, look, it's, you know, semi-jokingly, it's a UFO. And my buddy goes running into the ocean, screaming, take me, off this planet, take me. And he goes running into the water. And suddenly these three lights come directly overhead.
Oh, my.
And a spotlight shines directly on him. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's about to be sucked into the UFO. And I'm just as skeptical as you. I've never believed in any of this stuff, but seeing is believing. And it was right over his head, the spotlight. And then all of a sudden, the light went off, and the lights disappeared over the horizon.
Wow!
And we're both quiet for a second or two, and he says, "Did you see that?" And I went, I think so. I guess if we both saw it, it must have been real, right? And at that point, we were kind of freaked out. We just went back to the motel. And the next day, we were talking about it, and we realized what probably occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are, in between NASA and Patrick Air Force Base.
Oh.
Well, there's probably some kind of helicopter that they're working on that the blades cannot be heard over the sound of the waves.
Sure, that they're really silenced, if not totally silent.
Yeah, yeah, for obvious reasons. So obviously, what we saw was a test flight. And what probably happened was the two test pilots are going along the beach and looking at the infrared camera and say, oh my God, there's a hot cheerleader running into the ocean. So his buddy flies directly over him, turns on the light, at which point they see it's a middle-aged man in drag. Shut off the light. Get the hell out of here. And he says to his buddy, if you tell him.
Yeah, right. That's the real conspiracy. The truth is out there.
And I think that's the rule of three.
I think so. That's a great spot to end it on.
It's I'm Tim Slagle, timslagle.com.
I'm Brian Miller, BrianMillerComedy.com, and B. Miller Comedy on Twitter.
Catch us next week.
Yeah.